Our scripture reading will be taken from Matthew 25:14 through 30. For it is just like a man about to go on a journey, who called his own slaves and entrusted his possessions to them. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, each according to his own ability. And he went on his journey. Immediately the one who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them and gained 5 more talents. In the same manner, the one who had received the 2 talents gained 2 more. But he who received the 1 talent went away and dug a hole in the ground and hid his master's money. Now after a long time, the master of those slaves came and settled accounts with them. The one who had received the 5 talents came up and brought 5 more talents, saying, Master, you entrusted 5 talents to me. See, I have gained 5 more talents. His master said to him, Well done, good and faithful slave. You were faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master. Also the one who had received the 2 talents came up and said, Master, you entrusted 2 talents to me. See, I have gained 2 more talents. His master said to him, Well done, good and faithful slave. You were faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master. And the one also who had received the 1 talent came up and said, Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow, and gathering where you scattered no seed. And I was afraid and went away and hid your talent in the ground. See, you have what is yours. But his master answered and said to him, You wicked, lazy slave, you knew that I reap where I did not sow and gathered where I scattered no seed. Then you ought to have put my money in the bank, and on my arrival I would have received my money back with interest. Therefore take away the talent from him and give it to the one who has the 10 talents. For to everyone who has, more shall be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who does not have, even what he does have shall be taken away. Throw out the worthless slave into the outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Matthew 14 through 30.
Thank you, Al. In the reading of the text of the parable of the talents, I have from time to time studied about those things that some of the little ones are studying in their class, and I want to do that tonight as we examine this text. This is an interesting text. It follows on the heels of another illustration of the coming of the kingdom. And Jesus, in that illustration, in verses 1 through 13, uses the parable of the wise and the foolish virgins. In that text, of course, we see emphasis placed upon them watching, verse 13. Therefore, for you know not the day nor the hour. The need there that is emphasized is to be prepared for them to watch and to wait. But in this one, the focus is just a little bit different. We notice in this one, the emphasis is on being productive and on working in the kingdom of God. We need to understand, I suppose, first of all, that as we look at the parable of the talents, what a talent is. I know that in my growing up days, I used to read this and think that a talent is something that you have the ability to do. And there is a similarity in the use of the word that way. But in this context, a talent was a measure of money. In fact, it was a very large measure of money. I have on the board before you a picture of a silver denarius. A denarius was considered one day's fair wage for the common laborer in first century times. And of course, the context discussing that is from Matthew, where the question was asked of the Lord, is it lawful to pay tribute unto Caesar or not? And he asked for a denarius, and he said, whose inscription is on this coin? And they said, Caesar's. And he said, render then to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and the things of God unto God. Now that's the context. But the importance of a denarius to our context here is in trying to define what a talent is. I understand that there is at least some differences depending upon what source you look at as far as weights and measurements are concerned. But several sources indicate that a talent is the equivalent of 6,000 denarii. That is 6,000 days' wages. That's a lot of money. You figure your salary into that and figure up what one denarii would be. What one day's wages would be for you. This one talent man received 6,000 days' wages. Plug your salary into that and see where that puts you. That's over 16 years worth of work. The two talent man received then 12,000 days' wages. We would retire at the end of that. And then the five talent man received 30,000 days' wages. That's a long time. That's a lifetime worth of work. And then when we consider in the context of these verses, the text tells us that each one received according to his several ability. Do you see that in verse 15? The one talent man was not an incapable man. He had the ability to use a large sum of money. Likewise with the two talent man and the five talent man. But as we look at these individuals, they were not all possessed of the same abilities. Some had more, some had less. We also want to note that not all produced alike. The man who received five talents traded with him, and the text tells us, with them, and he made five other talents. In like manner, he also that received the two gained other two. But he that received the one went away and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. Now that tells us not only do they have different abilities, but the Lord that gave them these funds did not expect them to produce exactly alike. But what he did expect was for them to work hard, for them to do their very best, and to produce. He expected them to work, to be productive. And the man who had five talents did. He doubled it. Now he has the equivalent of about 160 years worth of wages. That's a lot of money. And the man who had the two talents, he worked really hard and he doubled that. Now he has about 65 years worth of wages. That's a lot of money. But when you compare that to the one talent man, who, though he had 16 plus years wages, the text tells us that he dug a hole and he buried it. He didn't do anything with it. And when the Lord returned, he was angry because he didn't work. He didn't do anything. And he's rebuked severely, and we'll talk about that. But we notice in the context of the rewards of these talents, the rewards were not the same. When you look at verse 21, the man who received the 5 talents, he came and presented other 5 talents. And his Lord said, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will set thee over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord." Notice the word faithful. He's been loyal. He's worked. He's met his master's expectation. And he is rewarded. "Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord." Observe, if you will, that he's privileged to share in what belongs to his master. In verse 23, the 2-talent man came and he presented his 2 more talents. And his Lord said unto him, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will set thee over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord." Likewise, for being productive, for being a worker, this man is also privileged to share in those things that belong to his master. "Enter into the joy of thy Lord." But the 3rd man, who received only 1 talent, his Lord called him a wicked and slothful. If you're reading from the New King James translation, I know that one does, perhaps others do, uses the term lazy, wicked and lazy servant. He said, "Take away therefore the talent from him, and cast ye out the unprofitable servant into the outer darkness. There shall be the weeping and the gnashing of teeth." Now that's severe. We look at that and say he had great opportunity. That's right. But opportunity is defined as the ability to use what he has as well as the occasion to use it. The opportunity. He can do so. He has the ability. But he didn't use it. His master called him lazy. Now that's not very good, is it? But what we do note in the text, if you'll back up to verse 19, it says, "Now after a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and maketh a reckoning with them." Of course, we see what's being illustrated in this, especially as you pursue into the latter part of chapter 25, is the day of judgment. There is a day of reckoning, a day of accounting. The Lord did not expect that his return would be imminent. It might be some time. But yet we find that these took that for granted, that it would be a very long time. And this particular 1-talent man evidently put that off indefinitely. He became negligent. Now, after a long time, that doesn't mean there's not going to be a day of reckoning. Indeed, there was. And the master came. Similar fashion to the parable that is in front of this in Matthew chapter 25 regarding the virgins who are waiting the arrival of the bridegroom. You'll note that the text tells us that the bridegroom tarried, verse 5. And they all slumbered. The bridegroom tarried. Here we see the element of time, the passing of time. And often through the passing of time, we become negligent. Young people, we talk about our college students. Ask you about your experiences in high school. You ever know that there's a test due and wait till the night before to begin studying? Ever done that? Ever have a research paper, those of you who are already out of college, and know that it's due on a certain day at the end of the semester, and perhaps you wait to the last week of the semester to even begin the research? You ever done that? Do an all-nighter, stay up, and work on your paper. Well, why? You knew the date was coming. But why then do we do that? You see, the very fact that it is prolonged sometimes indicates that, well, we've got plenty of time. And we make that argument. And often we don't. The Lord, after a long time, of those servants come. And he demanded a reckoning. Turn your Bible, if you will, to Romans chapter 14 and read with me verse 12. Romans chapter 14, verse 12. The writer says, "So then each one of us shall give account of himself to God." You know that's true, don't you? Not anybody in the audience this evening doesn't know that. You know that's true. The day is coming when you'll give an account before God. What are you doing about that today? In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10, Paul writes, "For we must all be made manifest before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he hath done, whether it be good or bad." No one can write that research paper for you. That's your responsibility. And so you will give an account for what you do. In this passage, each one will give an account of himself before God. That's the thought that's expressed in 1 Thessalonians 4, Acts chapter 1 regarding the Lord's coming, and in particular Acts chapter 17 in verses 30 and 31. There is a day of accountability. You know that's coming. This one talent man, no doubt, understood that the day of accountability would come. But you see, he's got plenty of time. Perhaps he's so reasoned. And perhaps we so reason. But look, if you will, regarding the reward of faithfulness. The man who received the 5 talents in verse 21 was told, "I have set thee over many things." Why? "You've been faithful over a few things." Now, we look at the large sum of money that he received and we say, well, it wasn't just a few things. Well, comparatively, it was to the resources that the master had. It was a few things. And you've been faithful over those things. Now, what is the reward? "I will set you over many things and increase trust. You've done well with what I trusted you with." The same regarding the 2-talent man who has developed 2 more talents in verse 22 and 23. "Been faithful over a few things, I will set thee over many things." And isn't that the principle that we see described? Turn, if you will, to John chapter 15. John chapter 15, and in verse 2, the text tells us, "Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh it away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he cleanseth it, that it may bear more fruit." What's the problem here? Well, there's not a problem with the man who is productive. He's made to be more productive. But the man who did not produce any, we learned that there were consequences because of his neglect. In Luke chapter 16, reading beginning at verse 10. Luke chapter 16, verse 10. The writer says, "He that is faithful in very little is faithful also in much. And he that is unrighteous in a very little is unrighteous also in much. If therefore ye have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? And if ye have not been faithful in that which is another's, who will give you that which is your own?" Now I want you to consider carefully that. Consider this illustration. Several years ago there was a young man that asked me if I might be able to help him to get a job. Well, that's a worthy ambition. I said, "What kind of work interest do you have?" He said, "I would enjoy mechanic work." Well, I knew a fellow very well who was a successful mechanic. And I talked with him. I said, he owned the business. I said, "I want to know, do you have any intern positions that you might make available to a young person?" He said, "Well, I would consider it." He said, "Do you have somebody?" I said, "Yes, I know a young man wants to be a mechanic." He said, "Send him down. Let's talk." So the young man went down and talked with the fellow, and the fellow gave him a job. You know what he wanted him to do? He wanted him to pull weeds around his shop, clean the restroom, make sure the oil was swept up and the floors were clean and the tools were put away. Well, after about 2 weeks, I asked the young man, "How's the job going?" He said, "I don't work there anymore." I said, "Why don't you work there anymore?" He said, "I quit." "Well, why did you quit?" He said, "Well, I knew how to pull weeds and I know how to clean a bathroom and sweep up oil." And you know what the business owner was trying to do? To see if that young man would be faithful in a little before he gave him greater trust. I have no doubts that the owner of the shop would have sent him to mechanic school. But this young man wanted to start out tearing down an engine instead of pulling grass and cleaning toilets. Now what's wrong with that picture, beloved? Here was a young man who could not prove himself to be faithful in a little. Do you think the owner of the business is going to take on the responsibility as well as the finances of sending the boy to mechanic school? Now think about that. When we think about our service to the Lord and we think, well, here's what I can do. Well, are we faithful in that which we can do? Then how do we expect increased trust? In the book of Revelation, in chapter 22, a very fascinating verse, in verse 3, some ask, well, when we get to heaven, what will we do? That's an interesting question, isn't it? Well, look at verse 3. It says, and there shall be no curse anymore, and the throne of God and the Lamb shall be therein, and His servants shall serve Him. What do you expect to do in heaven? Worship and serve the Lord. Now let me ask you, are you faithful in worshiping and serving the Lord now? Now you think about that and ask the question. Well, if I'm not faithful in my worship and service of the Lord now, do I expect that I will be with the Lord eternally to worship and serve Him? Well, let me just put a bug in your ear. If you're not being faithful to the Lord now, you need not worry about what you're going to do in heaven. You won't have to give that much more consideration. You see why? Because if you're not faithful with what you can do now, you're not going to receive an increased trust, such as the privilege of worshiping and serving Him forever. And we can learn that in the parable of the talents. Let's look at the reward of faithlessness. In chapter 25 and verse 24, it says, He also that had received the one talent came and said, Lord, I knew Thee, that Thou art a hard man, reaping where Thou didst not sow, and gathering where Thou didst not scatter. And I was afraid, and went away, and hid Thy talent in the earth. Lo, Thou hast Thine own. But his Lord answered and said unto him, Thou wicked and slothful servant, Thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not, and gathered where I did not scatter. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the bankers, and at my coming I should have received back mine own with interest. Take ye away therefore the talent from him, and give it unto him that hath the 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not, even that which he hath shall be taken away. And cast ye out the unprofitable servant into the outer darkness. There shall be the weeping and the gnashing of teeth. Several things I want to note with you here. First of all, we note that this man had his trust removed from him. That which had been given to him, he failed to use it. And because he had failed to use it, it was taken away. More on that in a moment. But notice the excuses that he offers. He says, number one, I was afraid. Now before he says that, he says, I knew thee, that thou art a hard man, reaping where you didn't sow, and gathering where you had not scattered. I knew thee, that you're a hard man. What did he know about his master? He knew that his master expected something, doesn't he? He knew that about his master. And so, rather than to risk losing anything, he just went away and hid it. He hid it. I was afraid. I went away and hid thy talent in the earth. There are several interesting things about that. Number one, you remember when Adam and Eve had transgressed God's law in the beginning, what did they do? They were afraid and they went away and hid themselves. This man was afraid and he went away and he hid the talent, as if he had put it in a good, safe place where it wouldn't be stolen, where there wouldn't be any loss to be suffered. And then he uses the word that the other guys have used, lo, or see, thou hast thine own. Some translations use the word behold. When you look that word up, it's rather interesting because it implies some excitement that you're calling attention to something. Now, the man who received the 5 talents has reason to be excited. Look at what I've done. The man who received the 2 talents has reason to be excited. Look at what I've done. But the man who has buried his talent in the earth has no valid reason to be excited about what he's done. But he is. Such disappointment. Excited about his failure to use that which was placed in his trust. As if to break his arm bragging on himself, at least I didn't lose it. Yeah, but you didn't use it either. You didn't do anything with it. And notice the rebuke of the master. He said, Thou wicked and slothful or lazy servant. He doesn't rebuke him because of his lack of ability. He rebukes him because of his negligence. You're lazy. You didn't do anything with it. Now, beloved, nearly everything that I know of comes with a stamp on it. Use it or lose it, doesn't it? Now, that's just the way that that is. That's true with things materially. Something mechanical, if you don't take care of it, before long it won't be useful to you. We've talked about that. If you don't maintain your car, what happens to it? Have it all do it once. If you do it, if you don't do it, the car won't work. You have a piece of machinery, if you don't take care of it, it'll rust and get to where you can't use it, freeze up. What happens with your body? You ever have a broken arm or leg and put it in a cast for a while? And what happens when it comes out of the cast? Have to learn how to use it, don't you? And what happens to our minds when we don't think? We don't use our minds at all. What happens? We get to where we can't think. And then what happens to us spiritually? Well, the same thing happens. If we don't exercise ourselves spiritually, as the Hebrew writer speaks in Hebrews chapter 5, what happens to us? We get to where we just don't work anymore. Now, what brought that on? Negligent. We're just lazy. Now, if that can characterize an individual, it can also characterize a congregation, can't it? Sometimes we become comfortable. And when we become comfortable, we can become lukewarm or indifferent like the church in Laodicea and not even know the condition that we're in. Now, that's just where that is. Now, when we begin to apply some of these things, how can we apply? Well, we can be faithful in using opportunities with the understanding that diligence is rewarded and neglect is punished. That's what we can take away from this parable. This man was negligent, and he was punished. Well, how was he punished? He was punished because that which was placed in his trust, he was a steward, was taken away from him. He didn't get to keep it. And it was given to one who would use it. Now, that's the wise use of things, isn't it? If you have something that you're not using, and it belongs to somebody else, they very well may take that away from you and give it to somebody that will use it. Somebody that will be productive. We need to remember that we are stewards of that which is placed in our trust. Another thing that we need to remember is that there is a day of accounting. There is a day of accounting. Now, there's an error on that chart, as you see. Search and replace don't always do it like you want it to. But I want you to notice that in the day of judgment, the amount of our talent or talents won't be as great a consideration as whether or not we've been faithful in the use of those talents. You see, it's not the amount. It's the proper use of them. These did not receive the same amount. But the man who received only one was expected to do something with it. He was expected to produce. We also note from this that the Lord's return may not be immediate. In this particular case, it tells us in verse 19, after a long time the Lord of those servants cometh and maketh a reckoning. But underscore in your mind that the day of reckoning did come. Now, if you knew that the day of the coming of the Lord was tomorrow, would that make any change in the way you think today? Would it? If you knew it was tonight, would you see the urgency of now? But how do we often reason about the day of judgment? That's going to be a long time down the road. So I don't have to be concerned about that today. Several years ago, a good friend of mine who had obeyed the gospel had become unfaithful to the Lord. And I talked with him about it. Soberly, several times. And his reasoning was, I know that my life is not right. I know I'm not serving the Lord. And I know that I need to correct some things, and I intend to do that someday before I die. And you think about that, brethren. What a foolish thought for several reasons. You know what that young man had? He had a wife and two little girls. Now, while he was waiting, guess what was happening to those little girls? They were growing up. Would it surprise you today to know that now after about 25 years, those little girls have grown up and they have children of their own, and they nor their little families go anywhere. They don't make one effort to serve the Lord. Not one. You suppose their daddy's still waiting for that time sometime before he dies? Look at what's happening in the meantime. He's lost his children. What about his grandchildren? They're already majorly handicapped in their service to the Lord. Now, who bears the responsibility of that? We say, well, the Lord may not return today, may not be tomorrow, may be down the pike somewhere, and I'm going to make things right before that happens. What's going to be lost in the meantime, beloved? Well, another lesson I want us to take home from this is that excuses are made by those who are lazy. You see, if you're diligent, you don't have to make excuses. But this man made excuses because he'd not done anything. I knew you were a hard man. All right, why didn't you do something? So I went and I hid it. And lo, thou hast thine own. What else can we learn from this? We learn that there is a place of punishment reserved for those who are unprofitable servants. In Matthew 25, in verse 30, the text tells us, "And cast ye out the unprofitable servant into the outer darkness. There shall be the weeping and the gnashing of teeth." There was punishment that was reserved for this unprofitable servant. Another powerful lesson that I want you to think about is that omission is as bad as commission. You see that? Omission is as bad as commission. Those who do evil will experience, according to Matthew 13, the weeping and the gnashing of teeth. But what about this man who did nothing? Well, he was to be cast into the outer darkness where there would be weeping and gnashing of teeth. You think they wound up in the same place? Something to think about, isn't it? The parable of the talents. So many lessons. We've not talked about near all of them, but some things to think about. And the question, of course, is, what are you doing with yours? This talent in the text was a measure of money. But we might take the lesson home with us in terms of what we do with our abilities. Do you use it? Do you bury it? What are you doing with your talents tonight? Maybe you need to obey the gospel. There are those here who are not Christians. You need to do something about that. There come a time when you can't. But you have an opportunity now. Would you avail yourself of it, believing that Jesus is the Christ? Would you turn from your sin and repentance, confess your faith, and be baptized for the remission of your sins? Maybe you've done that and your life is not right. Why not do something about that? There's time and opportunity tonight. These brethren pray with you and for you. We can help you make it known while together we stand and while we sing.